101.3 KDWB.
Jingle Ball 2008.
It's coming to the XL Energy Center. This year's lineup is hotter than ever. Lady Gaga will take the stage. Boys like girls sing Great Escape. You can see David Archuleta, Chantel's first show in the city's ever. Chris Brown sings his song forever. Rihanna, T.I. perform together.
Get your tickets at KDWB.com or win them here.
Jingle Ball 2008 from 101.3
KDWB.
101.3 KDWB.
Jingle, jingle ball, girl. Jingle, jingle ball, girl. Jingle, jingle ball, girl. Jingle, jingle ball.
Go home. They want to see the jingle, jingle, jingle ball. A big party, party at the X in St. Paul. You need to win your ticket, ticket, tickets. Be the right caller, caller when we ask you to call.
To win your tickets here. Presented by Boost Mobile.
101.3 KDWB.
Heard some more KDWB stuff to start off part two here. A lot of singing in your promos, Mr. Ricky Rue, the guest. Let's see here. I had a question come in from actually a young producer out of Australia. Nick sent was asking how you manage to keep your production all so fresh and, more importantly, ear-catching. I think one of the ways would be the music and be the singing, But tell me, you know, how's that? Are people responding really well to your promos that are songs? And how are you keeping your stuff so creative?
Actually, that's an excellent question. And yes, people respond. They've been responding very well here. The most recent Jingle Ball that we had last December, the promo for it, I believe you've just played it or you're going to play it. It's set to the tune of the Esther Dean song "Drop It Low," where the promo is the jingle jingle ball girl, jingle jingle ball girl. The morning show on KD has a segment where they call it favorite musical moments. It's where listeners call up and say, "I like this part of this song," and then they sing it, and then the morning show plays the actual piece back. It's a pretty popular bit that they do. Several people have called into the show with their favorite musical moment being that promo. So that was really, really great when I was told about that. I was like, you know, I did my job, the branding work, so.
Yeah, I want to ask rhetorically, I suppose, but how many producers listening have had listeners of their stations call and request their promos?
Not many, I would suspect.
I'm suspecting very, very few. I'm certain it's happened, but that's really cool to hear. That must make you feel really good.
Yeah, I was actually proud. I mean, I'm one of those guys where I hate to say that I'm humble, but I'm humble. I don't think I'm that great. I'm surprised that I'm talking to you right now. I look at the people you've had on this podcast with, Steve Sykes and Nick Daly and I listen to those guys' things, and I'm like, that's not me. I can't do that well. And here I am, like, talking to you, and people are asking me how I do stuff, and it's just kind of mind-blowing to me. But, it's good at the same time. I'm glad that, I like to teach, and I get calls, quite often from people, how did you do that? And you'll never hear me say, I'm not telling you. I mean, I'll tell you exactly how I did it. Maybe I'll keep some I'll keep some of my tools secret, but I'll tell you exactly how I did everything. That's nothing to me.
Yeah, well, I don't know for sure, like, name wise. There's a few names in the radio imaging production world. Dave Fox and John Frost, mm-hmm. I think, would be definitely at the tippy top. But I'm not positive if in all the circles some people have a big name or not. But I just know that your stuff was super creative. So that's why I wanted to. It's not like, hey, that's Ricky Rue. I got to talk. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, it makes sense to me that people would call you and that. Listeners would request your promos. Like, I can pretty much say that's never happened to me.
I like so your that, stuff. I enjoyed you when I was in Dallas. Sure.
Yeah. In fact, I'm probably going to just round out the stuff with your Dallas stuff, because you did some great stuff here, and you actually imaged a station that I was the night guy on, Max 106.3 back east.
I remember that.
Yeah, and then they got rid of you because they had no money. At the same time, they got rid of the PD and made me the afternoon guy, and I'm like, all right. They fired everybody, but I guess I'm still here, so what am I going to say,
Good times, good times.
It had absolutely nothing to do with your talent. It had to do with the fact that it was Clear Channel and they had no money.
I believe that was it was Bracio, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, yep. Big B doing big things.
Love it.
Bracio's a buddy of ours who is in New York radio. He was on 88.7, right?
Pulse.
The Pulse.
Yeah.
And that station was good. They just had no cash either. But now he's online. Anyway, sorry. We digress. As far as being in your creative head, let's take you back there. What are some of the things that spark your ideas for doing things, you know, your creative things on the air?
Wow, that's a number of things. I actually get a lot of ideas from TV. I get ideas from movies. I get ideas from TV commercials. I'm very critical of TV commercials, and I'm very critical of other stations' promos where... And I don't actually follow my own advice on this, so it's, you know, do as I say, not as I do type of thing, where
sure.
I feel that, you know, I'll see these TV commercials where it's two people talking, and person A says, wow, what do you got there? And person B says, well, it's the new this, and person B, or person A all of a sudden at the end of the commercial is a genius and knows everything about the product. And I'm like, well, how does that happen? Mm. You didn't know what it was mm-hmm. 10 seconds ago. I want to see real life situations. So when I see a spot like that, I want to make fun of it, and that actually comes up with some ideas for some of the comedy stuff that I do. The rest of it is, you know, I'll just take songs, and I'll just think, how can I make this, you know, this boring, we're giving away $100 an hour this weekend, well, great, yay, so how do I make that cool? Well, let's make a song out of it, and then I'll go from there.
I always think in generalities of like, oh, you know, like, X would be a good idea, not the drug, the, just saying generally, like something would be a good idea, but I can never, not never, but I have a very difficult time getting that to something that prints on the air. Like, how do you get from just like, oh, that commercial was sort of funny, I want to do something, to then like walking it to a place where it can be airable and producible?
I try to find the punchline first and then build from that. Like, you know, what would be funny, you know, to end the promo with this. That's going to make someone laugh, and then you build from there around it. And it's harder nowadays too, because you've got 30 seconds to do it in. And some of my older, some of the stuff I sent you from KRBV Wild 100 back in the days, that was before PPM, and we were doing 60-second promos, and you know, you had all the time in the world to tell your story. Now it's 30 seconds, less is more, blah blah blah. So it's very, very hard to tell that joke in 30 seconds or less. So it's at least for me anyways, I come up with that punchline first, and then I'll try to build around that and edit it down in word economy and just tweak it down to where it's something usable. As far as the songs, if it's for a certain concert, then I'll just use a song from one of the artists that are playing. If it's a regular promo for, say, Pay Your Bills, then I'll just sing Pay Your Bills over a song that I hear on the radio, and if it fits, then... I've got an idea.
Yeah. I think it's a special skill that you and others, maybe not even me so much, have, where you're able to much easier get from the general idea / punchline to something that really worked in production. Cause I trip up. I'll have something that I know is funny, you know, and I'll run the idea by people, and I even have a punchline. But then once I try and make it into something that's going to air on the station 20 or 30 seconds, I just can't get there, or it just fails. You know, it doesn't end up being funny like I know it can be.
I fail weekly. And a lot of times for the weekend promo, as it is, I get the weekend promo on a napkin Thursday at 5 o'clock. So I've got zero time to get something written off to my voice guy and back. A lot of the times, if you hear a weekend promo on KD and it's not Sean Caldwell, that means my first attempt, maybe my second attempt, failed miserably, and I'm just mailing it in because I had nothing left.
Okay. Yeah, because that's the thing. I mean, weekend promos are a good place to discuss that, in that we do a weekend promo every weekend, and I don't do a lot of creating singing or that kind of stuff. I'm not sure. I've done it a couple times, and it's worked okay. I just don't know if my audience... I don't know. I don't think they like it or get it, or I'm not good at it. But yeah, I feel like I do mail in that weekend promo a lot, because they did hand it to me at Thursday at 5, and I'm frustrated and busy, and it's like, all right, screw you. I'm writing 20 seconds in generic copy and putting it on the air.
Exactly.
You know, how do you like that? And I guess to be a better imaging person, I should never do that, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, we're not all perfect. I mean, that's what it comes down to. The thing is, it's like, try to make what you mailed in as good as possible. I mean, even if it's, you know, again, and we're coming back to, in a PPM world, You know, I'm learning to hate that phrase, but it's yeah. true. I mean, you, if you know, some of my coolest promos have actually just been information. You know, it's been just kind of a cool little, you know, way to get into it. It's kind of funky, and then you're just stating the facts all weekend. We've got this. Listen here, here, and here. Have a nice day. You know, and mm-hmm. that sounds boring, but when if you produce it upright. And, you know, use the right tools and beats and maybe some hooks and what have you. It's actually a pretty decent promo. You don't need to be like the old days where it's, you know, this big grand production where you've got four or five different voice people, you know, saying lines and everything. You can just, you know, state the facts.
Just shifting gears pretty significantly here, actually. There's a listener question sent in over at jinglenews.com. They're like good friends of this podcast. They mm-hmm. post a lot of stuff that I do. And I'm going to relate this to the fact that you actually worked at one of, if not the biggest jingle house in the world.
TM Studios, yeah.
TM, would TM be pretty much the biggest jingle house in the world? It's possible.
I would go ahead and say that, sure.
Yeah. So let me start with this question, then I'll get to the other point or a question I wanted to ask about that. The question is this, and I'm going to read it directly because I don't know exactly what they're talking about. Okay. And maybe you do. Quote. Why do, and this is about KDWB, why do they still play the I got six free dance loops and SFX, let's make a jingle, M-Edge jingles, ? Because they're cheap or because they're free, ? And why not air the real world cuts? This person likes those. So obviously they're ripping on M-Edge. I have nothing against M-Edge, and I don't know if they are actually indeed bad or... you know, because there's a lot of jingle nuts out there.
Oh, yeah.
Which you know, there's very, very big jingle nuts that are hateful of some and just absolute adorers of other. So can you shed some light on what that question is?
Well, I'll go, let me jump back just a tad. I'll go ahead and say maybe 5 years ago, I was a jingle hater completely. I was under the impression that all jingles were six white people standing around one microphone. And then I started to get more into it, and I really started to like the process, and working at TM Studios really helped me get involved and really, really learn exactly what goes into a good jingle. KDWB right now has, we have three different jingle packages on the air. If you're listening to Ryan Seacrest, we have a special Ryan Seacrest version of a couple of the TM Studios jingles. Outside of that, we have the Real World package that we run, and it's the one Real World one, so we get the updates every month. And we also have M-Edge, which is, we run that as well. I will say, for PC sake, I play what I am told to play.
And what are you told to play?
I am told to play
all three, is that what you mean?
I am told to play all three.
Okay, you're told to play all three. For PC sake, that's what you play.
Yeah.
Now, let's piss some people off. What do you like and what do you get it?
I love Real World. I love their whatever it is they have, and no one seems to know and no one can find out. And it's been, I'm going to make it my life. My life's goal is to find out what is the secret weapon that they use for that final mastering, because it is awesome. It is. Mm. It cuts through very well. Their vocals are really great. In fact, I take the Real World jingles every month and I deconstruct them, and I'll get two updates from them. So I get two jingles from Real World, and I'll make four or five more of my own, or I'll take just their vocals and I'll make my own music for the jingles. Mm. The M-Edge jingles, I like the tracks. I'm not a big fan of the vocals personally. But, you know, to each their own. I mean, I'm not saying that no one should go and get the M-Edge packages. I'm saying for me, I prefer the Real World vocals over the M-Edge.
Let me play. These are just short versions of these jingles, right? I'm going to play an M-Edge and a Real World. These are just short?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's the short M-Edge as it came from them to you. All right. And, okay, that sounds fine. Let me just go right into, here's a short Real World jingle that they sent to you. All right, so we've heard both now. Why do you like the Real World? I mean, I can hear what I think about them both, but why do you like the Real World's vocals better?
I like the Real World singers, actually. I mean, it's all relevant, I think. I think, you know, they're obviously different singers, so you're going to get a different sound, different tonal quality. Yeah. I like the arrangement a little bit better with Real World, and you know, of course, there's more than just three different jingle companies out there, so I'm not trying to isolate anyone, but you know, if I'm comparing A to B, I just prefer the Real World singers over the M Edge singers. I think there's more bottom to them. I think there's more depth to them, and they just sound really, really good. The M Edge singers are great too. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not bad singers. I'm saying that you know, it just doesn't have the same type of quality, I guess, or the I guess power is a good word. I like how powerful the Real World singers are. The M Edge singers are good, but they're just there. They don't have the power that Real World has. So, as far as tracks, I mean, those are again relevant as well. I think the Real World tracks, actually, if you know, if someone is saying, "Hey, you're being biased. You like Real World," I'll go ahead and say this. Sometimes Real World's tracks are very, very loud. And I won't use them because they're just you know, too boisterous and just too noisy. And I'll take an image track and put one of my own singers here from town and put those on too. So,
And you know, we can bring up TM as well. Yeah, I mean, we should make it clear. I have no affiliation with any jingle company, and you apparently. I mean, you know, you did some stuff for TM, but you got three jingle packages over there. So we're just giving opinions. I just know how psychotic, and again, no offense, but I'm going to say it, how psychotic jingle fans can be.
Oh, they're nuts.
They're absolutely nuts, yeah. And they love one package so much, and another is so hated. But
it's like telling a tween you don't like Justin Bieber. You know, you have to protect your balls. I mean, they'll come for your throat, you know?
How dare you, Rue? You don't say that.
Hey, I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
I'm a believer. What a waste of carbon. All right. You do some stuff for TM too. Now tell me the difference in you know, what TM is putting out there, because their stuff sounds completely, not completely, but very different as well.
Yeah, I mean, TM has also got a great product. I mean, I'll be honest, the only reason that TM is not on KDWB right now as a full package is because I don't have the barter space. I don't have the room. Otherwise it would be a done deal. So I'm limited as far as what I'm allowed to put on the air, as you know, mm-hmm. as far as, you know, my barter, and I only have this much time a day and blah, blah, blah. And I never understood the barter thing anyways. I don't understand why we just don't pay cash. It seems like that would be cheaper, but I'm not into the book, so whatever. But, I mean, TM has an excellent, excellent product. They have great singers, and having worked there firsthand, that is just an incredible group of guys and gals that are putting out a great product. And, you know, again, I'm not affiliated with them anymore. I'm just an imaging guy again. And this is my opinion of all three, but, you know, TM's, the music that they're putting out for jingles is quality. The singers are great. So, I mean, you know, I don't have anything against, you know, the TM product other than I don't have the barter space for it. So,
tell me about a radio imaging dude. Now, first of all, real quick, how many years were you actually imaging stations? You were at CBS in Dallas for, what was it, like 5-6 years, something like that, or a little less?
I was there 2001 to 2008, 7 years.
Okay, 7 years. And I tell you what, them getting rid of you was one of the worst decisions of a radio company. I mean, I get it, budget cuts and whatever, or finding, but I just wanted to make that point, because
thank you, and that's a very sore topic.
from a radio imaging dude going from being in-house at stations for that many years to then working in a jingle house, what was that like for you, that transition, and how effective do you think you were there at TM?
You know, it's two completely different worlds. In the radio game, you have these different deadlines. You've got this program director that's just barking orders at you left and right, you know, every hour of the day, and you're expected to, you know, just do this at the drop of a hat. Whereas, you know, at TM, it was very, very cool and very relaxed. And, you know, you had a job to do, and you had to do it. But everything was just, you know, very well structured and scheduled, and it was a really, really great experience. Everyone got along. I mean, radio is high school, and I'm pretty sure it's that way across the board. I mean, someone should come up with an RMZ instead of TMZ. It should be Radio Mile Zone, and just all the gossip and BS that goes on in radio stations. It's just ridiculous. And at TM, it was such a relief, and it was so relaxing to not to know that no one's talking behind your back and no one's saying, wow, you know, Ricky sucks and blah, 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 he does this bad and whatever. Everyone's helping each other there. And it's like, hey, I'm having a trouble with this key, or I can't get this, you know, chord progression. How do you know, can you help me? It's like, absolutely. Let's sit down. Let's work on this together. It was very, very cool and very different from radio in that respect.
And talk about the skills that you were able to utilize there. So like what did you use in radio almost, let's say, every day or very often that instantly translated over there in the job that you were doing?
You know, there wasn't a whole lot. I mean, radio is so hectic, and you know, I'd get to work at CBS. I would go in, and it would be a stack of this, and oh, the emergency this, and emergency that, and you know, and just, you know, being pulled in several different directions. Whereas I'd go to work at TM, and I would walk in, and I would know what I had to do that day, and I would sit down, and I would work, and I would, you know, bang it out. A lot of TM was, I'd say, 40 to 50% of your week was assembly. I mean, it was just, you know, banging out stuff for station after station.
Do a little detail on that, assembly. So essentially you had like Barry Young over there actually recording the tracks, I'm guessing, and handing you the raw tracks. Is that kind of what's happening?
It would actually go through a chain. There would be the new jingles would come in and the new tracks, and they would be edited down by a producer, and he would do the ramp version, and then he would do the shotgun version, which, you know, the shorter versions of this individual track. And then it would go to the big studio, and the singers would come in, and they would lay down their vocals. And then that session then goes to another producer, and then he then tunes the vocals and gets them aligned and gets them ready to go. And then it goes to another producer, or sometimes the same producer. I'm just showing you the steps. And then the fun would happen is where you would, you know, create the vocal effects, where you would put an effect on a track and do a stutter here, or do a reverb and a delay here and what have you, and a flange here. And then once you get that set, then it gets mass produced for all the stations that subscribe to this service. And then it's a matter of you put the proper station's vocals in, and then it's assembly, and then you get them bounced down, you mastered, and then they go to the mastering guy, and then they get shipped out. It's a real assembly line type thing, which can sound boring to some people, but I freaking loved it. It was very, very cool.
I'm just sort of guessing that you were the guy that was creating all the effects and the stutters and making the jingle actually sound really hot and cool for especially the CHR stuff.
Not as much as you think. There's a guy named Colin Golden who is just a whiz, and he did a lot of that stuff. And I remember I was a newbie. I was only there for a short time, maybe 6, 7, 8 months. So I came in at the bottom rung, and I knew my place, and I got to do a couple of things. They let me create some beds and some jingles of my own, and I got my hands on the Jackpack series, and that was a lot of fun. I got to do some cool creative stuff with that. But for the most part, I mean, I was in the bottom rung, so I was working my way up, and then KDWB called, and I kind of missed radio, and the rest is history, I guess they say.
Yeah, that was a cool. I know that was a cool time for you when you got that gig up there in the cities. So as we round out here, there was one other topic I wanted to discuss. I hope we got technical enough. I did have people request that we sort of get, you know, a little more technical, and I think we did that with you.
You know, I might be disappointing to a lot of people because I'm not that technical when it comes to compression and limiting and all the mathematics. You'll get some guys that go, I use a compression of, you know, 4:1 and blah, blah, blah. I use presets, brother. I'm usually in a hurry. I work fast, and a lot of times it's just presets. I managed to get my...
Let me ask you one final, actually, real technical question, because this is something that I think everybody has their own answer for, but everybody wants. It's that sort of crunchy, you know, the edgy CHR vocal effect that gets put on just about every single CHR radio station, you know, whether you've got Corley or... Mm-hmm. Or whatever. So, in your opinion, to get the vocal to sound sizzling and to cut through the music, but to not be too fat and overpowering, what's the most important thing you do to that vocal?
EQ. Definitely EQ.
But real in depth on what do you do to that EQ?
Well, for the most part, with Caldwell and with Brian James before him, I took a lot of the low end off. You'll hear pretty much all of us say that. Dave Fox, Eric Chase, Nick, you got to whack the low end off. And we all have different reasons why, but I think the main reason why is you don't want your vocal to fight with your track. You don't want you know, if you got a guy with a deep voice, well, you can still drop off the low end and he still has that deep resonance to his voice. Maybe it's not shaking the subwoofers like you think it should, but the deep voice is still there. When you listen, you know that guy's got a deep voice. And you can still get that by rolling off that low end. Usually, what, around the 400 or down around that area. But that's key number one. The very first plugin on my chain is the EQ. And it's a simple, some people, I can hear Eric Chase listening to this and going, what? What are you, nuts? But I use the basic, DigiDesign EQ, the four band EQ.
Yeah,
I whack the low end off of that.
The four band?
Yeah.
You say the four band? Okay. I've seen guys even use the two band on a vocal.
Oh yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as, as long as it does what you want it to do. I'll go from the EQ and then I'll go to the Waves plugin called the Audio Track, which it's got a preset in there called VoiceOver or VoiceOver with Punch. Let me see if I can pull it up in front of me here without stopping my... Yeah, it's a preset called Voice with Presence, and that does everything. It's got a little EQ in there. It's got some compression. It's got a gate, and that sufficiently squashes for my tastes for the squash that I like for my voice guys. And a lot of guys will hear, some guys will hear my stuff and they'll go, oh, you're doing it too much. But I've always, every station, I've had guys call me and say, what are you doing to Caldwell's voice? I can't get him to sound the way you use him. And it's just, I just destroy the voice. Basically, I put a lot of, with the EQ, I cut the low end out. I squash it with the Waves plugin, and then I'll throw a limiter on there and then I'll EQ it again. And some people are like, you're just out of your mind. You don't know what you're doing. And probably they're right, but it sounds good. So you
use the simple four band EQ. That's the first plugin. Then tell me what was the name of the compressor you said?
The compressor is it's with the Waves Gold package called, Audio Track.
Yeah. Okay. And I use that on the fly to record my voice, and my VO stuff.
I use the preset called Voice with Presence and I don't touch it. Just Voice with Presence.
Okay. Audio Track, Voice with Presence, and then will you slap in a second four-band DigiDesign EQ, or maybe you go to like an REQ or something else to give it a different...
After the Audio Track, then I'll go to the L1 Ultra Maximizer.
For compression?
For compression, or limiting maximum.
Yeah.
And I'll drop the out ceiling down to about -2. And then I'll just set the threshold to where it just rides on top, to where it's just kind of, it's bit, so it's not really working a whole lot.
Yeah, people love to hear the real in-depth technical stuff, so that's always good. As now I am officially running low on time. There's something I wanted to just bring up with you, because I don't think I've brought it up in a little while. As, the producer of an in-house radio station that also does, or at least I think likes to do, plenty of his own independent stuff, have you found the need to do a lot of marketing of yourself? Are you going to be ramping that up anytime soon? What type of stuff have you done or are you doing in that general realm?
Over the past year and a half, I've actually backed off a lot of my self-promotion as far as doing extracurricular work. I like to just focus on what I'm doing. I'm trying to focus more on songwriting and music creation. So, mm-hmm. I've got two voice gigs right now. I've got two stations that I'm imaging on the side, and that's pretty much it, and that's really all I want. I mean, sure, it would be great to have extra money, but I really like the time to be able to come home and not have to worry about, okay, I just did 8 hours of KD and KTLK. Now I've got to do another 3-4 hours of this station. I kind of like to come home and just sit in front of the keyboard and go, okay, what do I want to write? What kind of music do I want to do? That's really where my focus is outside of KD now. So, I mean, I've got the website up for whatever reason. If someone wants me and I'm interested, then I'll certainly take on another gig. But I like the freedom of not having to be able to, or not, having to have to take on the extra work. So
that sounds pretty good. I mean, I think, I don't know, I get into this too. Some people get caught up in the whole, I want to just acquire as much possible work, as humanly possible, whatever. I want to get as many VO gigs and as many production gigs. And I guess it's kind of nice to hear somebody that's just pretty happy with where they're at.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of reason why I don't do KD work at home. I mean, home is, I have the studio, I have Pro Tools, and I do some imaging at home, but 95% of what I do at home is all music. It's not, it's not imaging. It's all music. It's songwriting. It's lyrics. It's singing. It's all, music.
Yeah. Cool, man. We're rounding it out. I'm going to play a little more of your work at the end here. But my final question, I don't actually know if you've had a chance to listen to any of the full podcast yet.
I have.
I, Okay, good. Well, you might know then, I ask this to every single person at the end, but if you want to be a successful, and for you, I will just simply say a successful imaging producer, what is the one thing that you should focus on?
You should focus on doing what you do. That sounds pretty bland and boring, but I the way I get through and I do as well as I can because I focus on what I want to do. You got to do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're not happy doing what you're doing, then you're not going to put out good work, and it will show. I mean, I love what I do. I love what I do for KD, and I love what I do at home, and I think my work shows that.
Excellent, man. That's perfect. Perfect way to say it. Perfect piece of advice. Ricky Rue, everybody. Thanks, Rick. I really appreciate your time, and I know everybody else does the same.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's an honor to be on this side. This is quite a cool thing. I can't wait to hear all the comments that we get back from, you know, this podcast. So,
yeah, I think it'll be good. It's been blowing up, and everybody, be sure to check out RickyRue.com. You have a contact there that people can contact you if they want to, if they so desire?
Yeah, there's an email button on the site. So, I mean, email me any question you want or what have you, and you'll absolutely get a response back from me.
There he is, Ricky Rue. Again, I don't want to say this the wrong way. I will say one of the lesser known people that I've interviewed, but definitely at the same talent level. I've known his stuff for years now. I think he just, you know, he kind of keeps into his zone and does his thing. And a lot of people definitely know of him. And hopefully now a lot more people know of him and are maybe inspired by him. I believe the website there, it'll be linked on everything will be on my website always. So whatever I screw up in the interview, it should be correct on the website. RickyRue.com, though, plenty of show notes stuff, lots of extra content. Be sure to check that out. I don't really have anything extra to add here, to be totally honest. I'm completely fried. My brain is not functioning correctly. Still contemplating a move to Vegas. I might also take all of my wealth, which I can fit into one of my front pockets, so there's not that much, and I might move to Mexico, because even though it's a great country, their economy isn't as valuable as the United States, and I think I'll be a wealthy man down there. Might do that. I don't know. But I'm just kidding around. I'm doing just fine. But it's just... I'm literally fried. So we will end this. And I'll tell you this, actually. I have lots of guests in mind. I've got plenty of podcasts coming up in the future. My life will settle down in the next couple weeks, and it will be plenty of good stuff for you. And I also have some cool promotions coming up as well. A couple new sponsors to the site, which will help out. In fact, I can say that AV Deli will be a big sponsor of the site soon. Lots of good friends over there. They have massive libraries for radio stations and all that. But just getting some things worked out with them. And then there's going to be some other specials that come up where you get, you know, half off this, a free month here, 20% off there. All those will come and go with episodes in the future. So continue to check them out. Send me your messages. If I didn't already say that, I literally can't remember what I said 30 seconds ago. And if you have questions, you can send those in. Also make comments on the website. Every single post, you can comment. Other people will come by, answer your comments or reply to your comments. And you can all be web forum nerds like the rest of the world is. Okay. Bye.
The producers. Send your questions, feedback, guest requests, love, and of course, constructive criticism to show@ryanontheradio.com. Episodes available through iTunes, other podcast sites, and ryanontheradio.com. We thank our guests for their expertise and time. We thank you for listening.